Nityananda Sivaita Garakha Srivastava Gaura. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gaura Kupina Shyamatana Radha Kupina Dhamma Ki. Shri Vrindavan Dhamma Ki. Shri Mayapur Dhamma Ki. Ganga Mai Ki. Jamuna Mai Ki. Bhakti Devi Ki. Tulasi Devi Ki. Samaveta Bhakti Devi Ki. Jai Nitai Gaura. All glories to the Assemblies, all glories to the Assemblies, all glories to the Assemblies, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gaura, all glories to Sri Guru. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Chato, Varnas,
Varnascha,
Chatvaras,
Chatvaras,
Esham,
Esham,
Brahmana,
Brahmana,
Uttama,
Uttama,
Brahmaneshvapi,
Brahmaneshvapi,
Veda,
Veda,
Yo,
Yo,
Yarta,
Yarta,
Yo,
Yo,
Kyarikastata,
Kyarikastata,
Tato Varnascha Chatvaras,
Tato Varnascha Chatvaras,
Esham Brahmana Uttama,
Esham Brahmana Uttama,
Brahmaneshvapi Vairagyo,
Brahmaneshvapi Vairagyo,
Yarta Yobhyarikastata,
Yarta Yobhyarikastata,
Tato Varnascha Chatvaras,
Tato Varnascha Chatvaras,
Esham Brahmana Uttama,
Esham Brahmana Uttama,
Brahma, Brahman, Brahmaneshvapi Vairagyo,
Brahmaneshvapi Vairagyo,
Yarta Yobhyarikastata,
Yarta Yobhyarikastata,
Tato Varnascha Chatvaras,
Tato Varnascha Chatvaras,
Esham Brahmana Uttama,
Esham Brahmana Uttama,
Brahmaneshvapi Vairagyo,
Brahmaneshvapi Vairagyo,
Yarta Yobhyarikastata,
Yarta Yobhyarikastata,
Thank you. Among them.
Varna.
Classes.
Cha.
And.
Chatvara.
Four.
Tesham.
Of them.
Brahmana.
Abrahmana.
Uttama.
Best.
Brahmaneshu.
Among the Brahmanas.
Api.
Moreover.
Veda.
The Vedas.
Ya.
One who knows.
He.
Certainly.
Artha.
The purpose.
Ya.
One who knows.
Abhyadika.
Better.
Tata.
Than him.
Translation. From text 30. Better than those living entities who can perceive sound are those who can distinguish between one form and another. Better than them are those who have developed upper and lower sets of teeth, and better still are those who have many legs. Better than them are the quadrupeds, and better still are the human beings. Purport. It is said that certain birds, such as crows, can distinguish one form from another. Living entities that have many legs, like the wasp, are better than plants and grasses, which have no legs. Four-legged animals are better than many-legged living entities, and better than the animals is the human being, who has only two legs. Text 31. Among human beings, the society which is divided according to quality and work is the best. And in that society, the intelligent men, who are designated as brahmanas, are the best. Among the Brahmanas, one who has studied the Vedas is the best. And among the Brahmanas who have studied the Vedas, one who knows the actual purport of the Veda is the best. Purport. The system of four classifications in human society, according to quality and work, is very scientific. The system of Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras has now become vitiated as the present caste system in India. But it appears that this system has been current a very long time, since it is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. Unless there is such a division of the social orders in human society, including the intelligent class, the martial class, the mercantile class, and the labor class, there is always confusion as to who is to work for what purpose. A person trained to the stage of understanding the absolute truth is a brahmana. And when such a brahmana is Vedagya, he understands the purpose of the Veda. The purpose of the Veda is to understand the absolute. One who understands the absolute in three phases, namely Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan, who understands the term Bhagavan to mean the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is considered to be the best of the brahmanas, or a Vaishnava. So this whole section then, we see that Kapila Muni is describing devotional service, and he's been describing the process of deity worship. But in here, not so much detail is given, some basic concepts of the deity worship. More important, he's putting more emphasis on the mentality, the mood. And this mood is that if you're just seeing him as Lord and have that sentiment, that's nice. But still, it's not really very pleasing until you recognize other living entities. When that is accomplished, then we can say that now deity worship actually starts. So though, even though it's for everyone can take part in the deity worship, it's actually meant for coming to the platform of being able to understand the relationship between the Lord and all living entities. That's the actual point. So now in here, he's been making the point about making the distinction between living entities, that someone who is doing this, that's not what's pleasing to him. Then now, he's just spent so many verses making very specific designations between the forms of living entities. So then one might think this is contradictory. But actually, it's not. Because just because you see the oneness of all living entities as the spirit soul is transcendental doesn't mean that you can't see the coverings and you can't tell the specific kinds of coverings. Right? That's very important. Because if you can't make distinction, how are you going to actually engage in relationship? The point is, relationship is based on that affection for the Supreme Lord and his interaction, his affection for the living entities. That's the basis of all relationship. But it's not that you can't distinguish between who's God, who's the living entities, and the variety of living entities and what services they are rendering. So this ability to see things as one and at the same time different, that's our philosophy. So if we see it only as one or only as different, then there's always going to be a shortcoming. Right? If we use the thing, you say, oh, but this situation, no, it's all, we don't make these distinctions. It's not a very developed consciousness. Right? Or if we can only see distinctions, but we can't see the oneness, then that's very nice. It's sophisticated, developed in a certain way, but it might also be useless in that it might be critical. So this ability to be able to see both at once, that's actually our philosophy. So here is that one is able to see that the soul is non-different, that they are transcendental living entities. But the particular forms that they're in, so therefore the particular activities and relationships they can have with Godhead and others, that then is different. One has to be able to see this. So in this consideration then, because we're dealing here on this side of the Viraja, in these verses, that one is understanding that those differences that one is appreciating, those differences that one is seeing, that's not actually the nature of the soul. The soul is a servant of Krishna. So one is able to appreciate that the living entity is acting on according to the principle of that they're servant of Krishna, or underlying very hidden that they're servant of Krishna. But at the same time, as the covering that's there may have something that, you know, we may appreciate or not. So whether we appreciate it or not, still the way of seeing it has to be in relationship to Krishna. What we appreciate it, is it appreciated by Krishna? What is appreciated by Krishna? If it's not, what's not appreciated by Krishna? And then that means is what you're working with, but that is not the living entity. Right? It's very important. The living entity is one thing, their conditioned nature is something separate. Right? So if we're going to say we're not this body, we're all equal, so we make no distinction, at the same time then make distinction of this person has done this, so therefore he's a nonsense, that's contradictory. That's totally illogical. Because if you're going to make the distinction, then you make the distinction. If you're not going to make it, don't make it. We're going to be so transcendental. Oh, we're all equal, so it doesn't matter, equal opportunity. Everyone gets the same services, everything to do like that, you know. Then, at the same time, is we shouldn't be making distinguishes, other distinguishing factors based on the material platform by which we are already saying we don't make those distinctions. You understand? So that would be very nice as far as, you know, a consistent philosophy goes. But the problem is how you're going to interact with people. You're going to interact with everybody exactly the same. You know, come on, ma, hello, my dear grasshopper, how are you today? Please, send my humble obeisances. Like that. What's the bashar? So it's not necessarily going to work. So the living entity is distinguished, but at the same time the conditioned nature is distinguished. So the living entities are dealt with equally, but the conditioned natures are dealt with according to their position. And that position is established by Godhead, no one else. If someone else wants to establish, means in other words, if someone is wanting that, they must establish the positions according to their own mental speculation, then that means they are still polluted by the concept that I am God. Because the point is God makes the distinctions. He's made who the living entity. Here, Kapila Muni is God, is saying, what are the distinctions in the living entities? Would we know this? Would we know that these living entities, one superior to another? Right? We wouldn't know. Right? Darwinism is so-called so advanced, but here is even a more advanced system based on the consciousness, and then therefore from that, what facilities they have. So you can understand through the consciousness what makes the different things. So this balance is very, very important. This ability to be able to distinguish at the same time to not distinguish is very important, but we have to know what to distinguish and not. Otherwise, we will get it backwards, right? That's the thing. If one's not following the Veda, then irreligion becomes religion, religion becomes irreligion. So we have to be careful, because here then, after saying no distinguishing, then he's just established again now that Varnashram is important. Human society is the top of that. Varnashram is important. And then goes on within Varnashram, then the Brahmins, and then those who know the purport of the Vedas is higher than that. He'll continue. He will keep going with these designations. So we can see is that he's pointing out that this ability to see with transcendental vision, that all living entities are Krishna's servants, and therefore they are dealt with equally. But at the same time, one has to deal with the consideration of their conditioned nature. Right? Therefore, then that brings up what they do, the Varnashram system. So the Varnashram system then establishes, according to nature, what is the important element that everyone brings to the society. Right? Everybody's doing something important. That's the superiority of the Vedic system over the modern, is that the Vedic system recognizes that everybody has something important to do. And that is required in a society. Without knowledge and training of others, there will be no society. But unless someone's administering and protecting and creating a safe environment, no one, even though they're trained and educated, can function. The running of that society is still going to come because of money. So therefore, those who generate the economics is very important. And at the same time, is unless there are those who are dealing with the arts and assisting others in the arts, then nothing's going to happen. Right? Because you're dealing with a huge amount of people. So unless people are assisting and working, then even you have the education, the administration, the economics, still it won't work. Right? Because that's not that many people. It's not enough to make everything else work. So you have to have all these four. Each one is bringing to the social system something extremely important. But as being described here, then of those things, it moves up by the different elements of consciousness. One is just performing one's daily activities, assisting, that's nice. But he may be only conscious of himself, though he's taking part, and in this way it is extending it. But when we can understand the economic value of something, therefore we can make things grow, we can expand things. Because if society is going to expand, and unless there's an expansion of facilities, well, how is it going to be accommodated? So that's more important. But that growth and expansion can only take place in a safe environment. So that's more important. And a safe environment can only be established if you actually understand what is the instructions of the Lord. So like this, then there's naturally a development here, but all are important. So these things, if they're understood, then one can actually establish something. But if one is on the mental plane of speculation where he does not actually understand or have faith that the Vedic system, the Varnashram system, is the only actual thing that works, then they will never be, consistency. There'll never be cohesion between the various members of that, organization, that society. Because it will never be clear who's supposed to do what, right? just like the Brahmana, he gives, he defines how things are supposed to run. What are the standards? What are the methods by which those standards are obtained? Right? So the Kshatriya then, learning this from the Brahman, he executes it. Right? But the Brahman never executes it. He doesn't do it. Right? He is giving the directions and advice. But it's not that the Kshatriyas are their representative that, okay, here, I told you what to do, now you do it. No. The Kshatriya has himself imbibed those teachings, understood those, and from his own determination, he is administrating. So the glory, or the, the fame or infamy that come, the responsibility of administration falls squarely on the Kshatriya, not on the Brahmin. But the responsibility to establish the standard, train others in the standard, follow up on that training, cultivate those in that standard, that falls squarely on the Brahmins. Right? Vaishyas, they make money, but not at the expense of the Brahmins and Kshatriyas and Shudras. Right? They make money, they give in charity, they pay their taxes, and whatever's left, then that's up to them to do. No one should complain. Right? They like to work, and that's just like the Brahmin. No one complains if he wants to study more. Right? He has more things, more interest, so no one should complain that Vaishya makes more or uses more, because he's giving more. He makes more, he gives more. He makes less, he gives less. So why should we worry, oh, he's making so much, but he's giving so much. And the Shudra, then, they are assisting the others in their area. They know the arts and the sciences that the Brahmin, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas know, and by the application of the arts, then the system works. So that combination of art and science, then everything functions properly. So all this is very important. If one can't make these distinctions or have faith in this, then one is actually just functioning on the mental platform. Right? That makes sense. So these things apply in our life. How do they apply? GBC man's like a Brahmin, a preacher. Right? He has a standard. He knows the standard. He trains the temple presidents in the standard. What is to be done? The vision. Understanding what Prabhupada wants, what Lord Chaitanya wants, what the Sampradaya represents. But the management of it falls squarely on the temple president. GBC is not an administrator. He's a Brahmin. So this is understood, then the relationship between the GBC and the temple president works very nicely. But if the GBC thinks the temple president just does what I say, just like the Brahmins think that the Kshatriya just does what I say, the system won't work. Or if the Kshatriya and the temple president thinks, well, what the GBC has to say is not of value, or the Kshatriyas don't think the Brahmin, what they're doing, has no value, I know better, then we know better, then Parasaram comes around like that, and he shows who's boss, like that. So these are very, very simple, direct things. If one accepts Varnashram, other applications work very well. You have the husband and wife. The husband has the environment, has the standards, has all those different things, but it's the wife who is running the house. Right? And so there's a natural differences in here. So if Varnashram's not accepted, none of these other things are going to work. It's the same principle. Right? If you think, oh yeah, I can add 2 plus 2 and that's fine, but then you can't add 4 and 4, what's wrong? It means you don't understand mathematics. And if you don't accept mathematics as the basis, but at the same time you're going to claim you can do 2 plus 2 equals 4, there's something wrong. So it's speculative. So Kapila Muni is pointing out that it's part of devotional service. Varnashram is part of devotional service. Understanding this principle is part of devotional service. It doesn't stand on its own. So when we say dasyam, then for us as Gaudiyas, it does not mean Varnashram. Right? the Sris, the Madhvas, it doesn't mean Varnashram, because it's very much integral. Because in Vaikuntha, then, that's very prominent. Rules and regulations are prominent. So the following of Varnashram here is simply practice for following it there. But for the Gaudiyas, then, it is part of engaging the conditioned nature in the Lord's service, which is the process. But you're trying to develop love for God. You're not working on the principle of Varnashram is the perfect stage. That doesn't work. So it's a little more subtle. But it is part of devotional service. But to think it's not, to think we're beyond that, or think it doesn't apply in this age, is purely speculative. And anyone who says like that is speculating. It's that simple. It's right here. It's not, well, no, but, you know, no. It's no, no buts. God has said this is the way it works. We either accept God or we don't. Or if we don't accept God, then we'll make up our own religion. Right? And we know Prabhupada wasn't too fond of that. So he's making it very, very clear about the system. But the emphasis is still not on the system. Because he's made that clear. As one who performs the ritual nicely but has missed the mood is not pleasing me. And the mood is to see all living entities as equal and engage them according to their conditioned nature in his service. Right? So, therefore, even though he keeps mentioning this point of the form of devotional service, still the mood of devotional service is actually more important. But without the form, then it doesn't actually come up to the standard. Right? Because he's coming up a human being, then human being going beyond. So that means Vaishnava's automatically human being. So that means Vaishnava follows Varnashram. The only Vaishnava that doesn't is Paramahamsas. Right? The Paramahamsas, they don't get involved here. You know, they're not worried about what goes on here. Right? Plus, Paramahamsa means he's on the liberated platform. So he's absorbed in the Lord's eternal pastimes. That's why he doesn't get involved here, because he's got something better to do. And so that all this then brings us to the point that the devotees then of the whole system of living at is the best, because understanding devotional service, understanding our relationship with the Lord, acting within that relationship, that's the most important thing to gain from the whole material experience. That's actually what we're trying to get to, because that's what goes on in the spiritual world. Yes. Any questions, comments? Yes.
My question is
Brahminical and Kshatriya, okay. A dual mandate on the GBC.
But that doesn't seem to work.
It's become a dual mandate, but see, if one that's the point, is if you spend your time trying to understand Varnashram, then trying to figure out ways we don't need to follow it, then one can learn the subtleties. Now, Chanakya Pandit, what Varna was he? A Brahmana. Did he ever manage the kingdom? No. But he gave all the advice by which he took a kid off the side of the road and made him into the emperor of North India in 8 years. Right? Why? Because his knowledge, his science that he knew was administration. So it's not, but it's not that he doesn't do management. He doesn't do administration. So Prabhupada said GBC is the highest managerial authority. It doesn't say it's the highest administrative. You understand? Management means you organize something. You organize to make a phone call, talk to this person, that one. Organize it in such a way that everything runs smoothly. Yeah. But administration means you have to get down into the practical aspect of your accounts and this and that and all the different things that are there so that you see to, you know, protection, this, that, everything that's going on. It's a bit bigger. Administration means protection. Right? Management simply means organizing. Right? That's why if you use modern management systems, they fall short because they don't include protection. Right? Any of the systems that people talk about, one or two will touch on that. But generally, it's for managing businesses to make money. It's not administration. So just because management is there, Kshatriyas aren't managers, they're administrators. Everybody manages. A housewife manages. You think it's magic that the socks, dumped on the floor, by their husband, get into the wash, get washed, get folded up, and put back in the drawer? That's management. Right? The rickshaw wallet, to keep his rickshaw so it works, that's management. But it's not administration. Administration means you create an environment of protection. So management is not enough. Brahmins also manage. So that was Prabhupada's point, is that you say, okay, well, for preachers or sannyasis, we don't manage. No, Prabhupada said you manage. You don't administrate. That's a subtle difference. But that's why if we put our effort into understanding Varnashram instead of, Kavi or someone else, we could gain so much. The subtleties that are here and the difference are so clear. But we have to spend the time to find them. If we don't, then we'll go on in a speculative fashion, and whatever we dream up will continue as speculation. It'll never work. It can't work. Why? Because it's God's laws that run this place. So unless you are in line with God's laws, whatever you dream up will never work. And if anything is working, it's simply because by chance, it's in line with the law. You know what I'm saying? That's all. So this element of understanding these subtleties, it applies everywhere. Why do you think our marriages don't work so well? Because no one can tell the difference between the duties. Right? They can't tell the difference between the duties. So the men are expecting the women to have the particular mentality that is supposed to be there in the men. And so therefore the women want the men to do the activities of the women. They can't tell the difference. So if you can't tell the difference, you won't be able to tell the difference anywhere. So therefore you can't tell the difference between GBC and temple president, or temple president and his community, or the husband and wife, or parent and child. You can't tell the difference. It's the same principle, just different applications, right? Right? The knife that you cut your vegetables with, the same principle is used at the printing press by those big guillotines that cut the paper to size the books. It's the same principle. It's the same thing. So if you can't distinguish actually between the duties of a Brahmin and a Kshatriya, you won't be able to tell the difference between any leaders. Right? What is the difference between the secretary and the Kshatriya? Right? People can't tell the difference between an administrator and a manager or a bureaucrat. Right? Because a bureaucrat is a Shudra. That's their varna. Generally, the Kshatriyas who they take on is that are dwijas, specifically generally Vaishyas, but dwijas who are not acting in their position and become secretaries. So the Kayastha class, the Suvarnabhanda, this class is higher grade persons who are working in Shudra jobs. That's why they can do it so well. So the Kshatriyas use them. Right? Those who are working lower than that, the Dwijabandhas, they're just one of the common people. But these elements are there that you can distinguish what is the conditioned nature so you know exactly how to apply it. That's intelligence, that's discrimination. So if you can't tell the difference, then it becomes so these are very, very, it's science. And it always works. It doesn't matter what yuga it is, what time it is, nothing. They always apply. Gravity is always working, 24/7. Such a yuga, it was still there, right? Treta yuga, dwapara yuga, breathing, eating, sleeping, mating, defending. What's changed? People wear clothes. People do something with their head, their beards. They pick their noses. Nothing's changed. But we are under this illusion that there's something different about Kali Yuga, which is created by God, just for, it's a sort of comment. And that, therefore, God's laws don't apply in something he's created. Now, where do you find a philosophy that God's created something he can't control? It's not Vaishnavism. Right? That's your Judeo-Christian concept. God's created something he can't control, so someone else has to control it. Who is that person? Satan. Right? And so therefore, then, if we're going to now turn to Satan's idea of how to run this world, what is his business? To make you go to hell. So therefore, then, why would that be used as a paradigm? Why we wouldn't use Varnasha, which is given by God? Just because we don't understand it doesn't mean we shouldn't have faith in it and try to study and learn. Couldn't we have done that 30 years? 75, Prabhupada was talking very strongly about Svadasi Varnasha. So that means now it's 34 years. Right? If somebody it doesn't take that long to become a PhD. You know what I'm saying? So that means we could have people who are very expert at Varnashram now, but instead we're still speculating, does it even apply to us? And if you ask most people, they'll say no. But Kapila Muni right here is saying the opposite. Prabhupada's saying the opposite. Everyone in the Shastra is saying the opposite. How do we come to the speculative concept that it's a maybe? It's a possibility. Right? The best part is we accept, you know, the Brahmachari Grahastha Vanaprastha Sannyas, but we won't accept the Varnas. That's because of our conditioning, because we'll turn it into the caste system. The problem with the caste system isn't that. Caste system is, this is your nature, that's what you act. It doesn't matter where you're born at. Satyakama Jabala is one of the perfect examples. He was Satyakama Jabala, he was a son of a prostitute. But because he was so truthful, and he acted on truth, Gautama Rishi accepted him as a Brahmin. He's one of the great personalities, you know, mentioned in the Vedas. Like that. So great self-realized soul. Because he acted as a Brahmin, he was accepted as such. Yes, you don't know. Means unless you know the science, how you know. Unless it's like this. If you know, okay, if you know a few recipes, that's nice. But what if something's not there in the recipe? Or what if there's not, you know, a whisk or something like that that you need in the recipe? You're going to have problems. But if you understand the science of cooking, then no matter what situation you're in, what ingredients you have, you can cook something excellent. Right? That's the whole point. So that's what Prabhupada says, nectar devotion. He didn't say the sentiment of devotional service. He said the science. So others try to present the sentiment and bring it out and try to say that it's higher. But the point is no, if a sentiment's not based on science, it doesn't have any meaning. Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Chaitanya Sikshamrita, every aspect of Lord Chaitanya's philosophy, including those of Radha Krishna, the pastimes, he establishes back into Upanishads. He quotes Upanishads that are explaining Radha Krishna's pastimes. And he makes it clear there that if any philosophy is not based on the Vedanta and the Upanishads, it's not accepted by the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Rupa Goswami said, Shruti Smriti Puranadi. He said, if it's not based in the scriptures, we don't accept it. But at the same time, as we very calmly play around with speculative elements that borderline on Gnosticism. That they don't accept the Vedas. We don't have anything good to say about Buddhists because they're Gnostics. Right? We even will have more support for the six bogus philosophies because they're agnostic. They accept that the authority of the scriptures and accept the supreme person. But other than that, then they don't actually get farther. So this whole element of how we could even consider playing around with atheism is very strange.
Why do we do that?
Why? It's just our conditioning. That's what we've done for time and more, so that's Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains in Tattva-Vivek that in the spiritual world there's one opinion. It doesn't matter what realm, Vaikuntha, Dwarka, Mathura, there's one opinion about the Jiva, God, all in their relationship, that he's the supreme, they're the servant. There's one opinion only. But in the material world, he says that there are so unlimited opinions. Basically, they fall into two categories, that of karma and jnana.
Karma means you think that everything's coming from the material energy. So consciousness, life, your pleasures and pains. So if you follow the rules of material energy nicely, you'll be happy. If you don't follow them, you'll be sad. So therefore, you know, be happy, be nice, you know, do those things. So, and if you share, then you'll get more benefit because you're benefiting others, so they'll benefit you. It's a nice, you know, you scratch my back, I scratch yours. So therefore, be nice. But they understand there's some supremacy, but they take it as material energy itself, like that. The jnanis then are those who take it that the soul does not come from the material energy. And the material energy basically is some variety of illusion. And so if you remove this concept that you have of that the material world is actually of value in that, then all your problems will go away. Right? The problem is you extinguish your own existence in the process. So Bhaktivinoda Thakura points out, well, how do you know you're happy if you don't exist? You know, so it's a little bit of a serious flaw in the, you know, impersonalist, Buddhist, pessimistic, or how you say, idealism, all these different theories that are Shaivism that are based on this concept. But technically speaking, your monotheism will say, well, monotheism is separate, but actually it's still part of the same thing. It's a mix of the mix. So, because karma didn't work, jnana didn't work, then the living entity actually gets frightened because they have to have something. And they know that their happiness comes from a supreme that's inherent in the soul. And by working appropriately with that supreme, you'll get benefit. So then they take up monotheism. But in that, because they can't explain karma really very properly, then they don't accept, they have a problem with him actually being in control of the material world. Let's say he's the supreme controller, but someone else has to be in control, otherwise why does good, bad things happen to good people? Right? And so, there, but if you ask what's the body, I mean, what's the soul, it's actually made of material energy. It's mind, it's the body. So actually they're saying the same philosophy as the karmis. And if you ask what's your relationship with Godhead, they'll say this, that, but ultimately God has no form and everything like that. So it comes back to karma. So the generation of where the soul comes from, so that's how you get these pollutions, because you actually think that I, by my observation, can actually understand the material energy and make a plan. Right? But that's what the demons do. Sura means, I made my plan, it didn't work, I turned to God. Asura means, I made my plan, it doesn't work, I make a new plan. Right? Cubby didn't work, then I move the systems. If that doesn't work, then I move to something else. You know, like saying that. No, it's what are the principles on which all these different concepts are based. That's common, they have to be. They're only dealing with the same material energy. Just they emphasize different aspects. Someone emphasizes your position. Someone emphasizes, therefore, your prospects or your potential, like that, which is you know the aspect of inspiration, which is coming from Madan Mohan, right? The field is coming from Balaram. You know, this is the way it is, and this is how it works. But to be inspired in that—that's attraction. So they'll bring out the aspect of attraction. You can do it. You are rich. This is rad. You know, all these different things. Poor dad, rich dad's mentality. You know, you want it, then you attract. Why? He just says, you think about it long enough, you get attached to it. Only after you're attached, you'll work. So only if you work, you'll get it. So if I focus on attraction, I will work and get it. But you see, it's what they do is they work on different parts. Or goal-oriented, yes, you go get it, this and that. So it's there, it's only working on Gopinath. Right, the prayojana. It's not emphasizing the other, because if that's there, it means you had to understand the field, you had to know what you're doing, and therefore you'll work. But in it, if your field understanding was wrong, your work will still not get you the thing. So the complete picture is there in the Vaishnava philosophy. So to think that these others, they are observant people, intelligent people, they've learned a lot, but without knowing Krishna, they'll never learn more. So the devotee already has the capacity to learn everything you could ever want to know about this material energy, down to the finest detail. But unless you have faith in it, you'll never look there. You just won't look there. You'll always be looking in these other places. like that. So that will be it. So it's just conditioning. This is the way we're used to it. It's a problem, throw it out. That's your pessimism, right? Idealism is, I do this, do nice, it's great, and you know, oh yes, everything's wonderful, Myra is a spiritual world, nothing will ever happen here, then something goes wrong. How did that happen? How is that possible? You know, where was Krishna? So what does that sound like? That sounds just like a Jewish rabbi who became an atheist because his son died at 12. Same philosophy. Because they don't actually see how Krishna's in control. What happens to us is exactly according to what we desire. Right? And we say, no, I didn't want my son to die. But then if you steal means you want to go to jail. So if you steal now and then later you go to jail, then you say, I don't want this going to jail part. But if you didn't want to go to jail, why'd you steal? They go together. So we don't want to take responsibility. It has to be someone else's fault. Right, that's why we love committees, right? Because a committee is never responsible. Right? An individual you can nail, but a committee you can't. And each person can, if they want, say, I don't remember saying that, or they can say, I didn't vote for it, I abstained. Yeah, you get all kinds of things you can say. And so you can never get anything done with a committee. There's no organization in the world that's successful that the top is a committee. There's always people. Right? Kshatriya has a committee, has his ministers, but he makes the decision, and he gets the glory or the blame. But this idea that committees come from lack of trust. We don't accept authority. We don't accept that there is such a thing as authority. And so, therefore, we're tiptoeing around how to get around authority. Gurus being authority, temple presidents being authority, parents being authority, all these things being authority, that we try to create a system that works without authority. And that's called a committee. Right? So, for the faithless person, yeah, let's say, not say fully faithless, but for the person who doesn't have much faith in authority, therefore, since Vedas are authority, doesn't have much faith in them. The basic philosophy of Krishna consciousness, yes, philosophical, but the culture or the religious part, that's another thing, because that means then that's actual relationship. And lack of respect of authority or faith in authority means a relationship problem. So basically, the modern culture cultivates relationship problem. That's why there's such a, I used to say, a complete difference between two things. A distinction between the first world, and the so-called international, and the rest of the world. Because the rest of the world accepts relationships and can't understand what the gringos are talking about. So the Western culture can't understand why these people are so worried about, family and community and this and that. It'd be so much more practical to put all that to the side. Right? So yes, practically for making money and moving things forward for an observable result, then the Western system is in that way better. But if your results are meant for use in relationships and that, then they've failed 101%. Because relationships is one thing you can say that the Westerners don't have as part of their philosophy. While the rest of the world, that's all they work for. They'll lose everything for the family, for the relationships, for the friends. That Westerners will never do that. Then why do we do that? That's why Westerners designed this hat thing, right? Because I'm wearing my hat, so my best friend, I can yell and scream and tell him what an idiot he is and that, and then I'll say, well, I was just wearing my management hat. Like that. But, in the third world, they would have to consider, he is my friend, so therefore, I should tell him what I think, but I have to tell him in a way that may be more difficult and is not as pragmatic. It may take me 10 minutes to tell him, or it may take weeks or months or years, while the other way, I can just say it. Of course, it destroys the relationship, but hey, that's his problem. Like that. So these things are, you understand? So they're based on the same principle of just lack of respect of authority. And so from that, then these other aspects come up. So it's what we've been doing since time immemorial. So that's why Kapila Muni is making the point here, is that you don't judge the devotee by their conditioned nature. You judge how they can be engaged, or what particular service would be ideal for them. But their position to be involved in the devotional activities, their position to be a devotee and all those things, that is not, it's not a consideration. Because so eternal damnation is not part of it's not part of Vaishnavism. Like that. It's just not. Just as a side thing, I was even hearing yesterday, one devotee was saying that he was talking to some monks, Christian monks, the monastery walnuts. And so that monk was saying that actually there's a different teaching for the common people and for the monks. The monks know about reincarnation, this and that, but they never teach it to the common people because it's considered they can't understand it. So what the monks are taught about and what the comes, but he says, but if you have a dialogue between a monk of one order and another, or one religion and another, it says they're very common ground. But if you, between a monk and even someone of their own religion, but is not a monk, is very different. So it's interesting to note that even there is that our concept of these general things are coming from the general. You know, it's not even the specifics that in. So I guess we should but just one question. The Varnashram system limited to the material world is also applicable in spiritual planets. It's also applied there, that's where the culture comes from. But there it's a medium for expressing one's love for Krishna. Right? Vaikuntha Kshatriyas and that mood like that, Dwarka Kshatriyas, so through that flavor, then that's there. And Mathura will be mixed, there'll be a lot more of the flavor of moods and that, though it's a Kshatriya based, but Vrindavan will be a Vaishya based. But that pure, unalloyed love is the main thing. The material world is used as a form to see that just the society will run nicely, but its purpose is the same, to get to the same Vaikuntha understanding, the same Vaikuntha mood. So we use the form so that we can develop actually that spontaneous love for Krishna. That's its purpose here. So by Varnashram, like anything else, it's meant for developing spontaneous loving devotion for the Lord. It's not economic service. Those are side things. So I'll end here. Like that. No, we're over time. So if there's anyone that has more questions, we can continue after 5 minutes. Grantarad Shrimad Bhagavatam ki, Shrimad Prabhupada ki, Samadeka Bhaktivinoda ki, Jainatai Gaura Penavan ki.
Abhinav Bhaktivinoda Purna Maharaj ki.
Sorry that I don't come often to the full lecture because I distribute books in the morning. Uh-huh. When it's possible, come.
Take in a couple of minutes, let everybody kind of like move. present, can I ask questions?
Not just at present.
Hereafter?
Yes, after another 2-3 minutes, then you can ask questions.
After the little or?
Yes.
After the day?
Yes, because everyone's talking about this and that. And once they go, then you go.
After 4 minutes?
Yes, maybe even 5 minutes, depending on how much everybody's talking. Who's right here, in this seat.
Hello, Mahesh.
Trumpet man's here.
Yes, yes. Happy to be here.
I haven't heard you play.
Oh.
Have you been playing?
A little bit.
It's been years.
They've been serving.
They're serving.
I'm with the Yatra. They're serving breakfast at 7, you know, so I'm getting the breakfast at that time. What to do? Nice to see you, Maharaj, and to hear you speak. It's very, very stimulating. I have many questions when it starts. Maybe I'll get time to ask them.
Yeah, it's
really stimulating. It's really nice. How is your school and preaching going?
It's not really good. You're getting more and more, you know, staff.
It's very inspiring to see. I see many Prabhupada disciples like coming to the prime of their career, you know, they're like been working all their lives, you know, on projects and they're starting to blossom. It's really nice. Yeah. It's great.
I think the system's gotta work sometime.
Yeah, right. Seeing some of the boys look like they're coming from the school, come for morning programs sometimes.
Depends on the day. Half of them come during the weekdays and the other half are during the puja. On Sunday, then almost all of them come and the couple of them stay back.
They're looking very, you know, like Vaikuntha men, you know?
Oh, yeah. Trying to figure out how to wear their clothes.
I'm also trying to figure it out. You know? I'll have to ask them.
Yeah, no, they're quite good.
We're learning Bengali also?
In the summer we'll start this year. We have the course written, but we haven't started teaching yet. But this summer we'll start this year.
The other day I was in a kirtan with some of the boys and some Bengali devotees, and the Bengali devotees started talking to them in Bengali and they were answering, and he said, "Oh, I'm talking to you in Bengali." I said, "No problem, I speak in Bengali." He was very happy.
We haven't started. Eventually we'll teach the Bengali devotees, but right now we've been teaching Sanskrit. And now we split it into Sanskrit and Bengali.
I think they got like the local Bengali kind of...
Yeah. It's not a bad accent. It's a fairly good accent. It uses the words. It's quite respectful. It's a very clean accent. I think the Calcutta's coming. It's the most common. It used to be Shambhala, but now Calcutta's become the most. Watching it.
Ready to start, Raj?
About the perfect knowledge, the destination of life, simply by hearing from Krishna, so we are not the most intelligent person. It is not possible to experience directly, but if one has got intelligence, then simply by hearing and considering and thinking over it, he gets the experience. So this point, probably, it's not possible to experience directly, is that in dealing with the material energies, we're not ourselves directly involved with the material energy. Technically speaking, what's happening is the Lord is the basis of the whole thing. And then His energy takes the various forms that we see of this world by His direction according to the karma and everything of the living entity. So we are actually able to deal with the material energy in obtaining that principle that is Krishna, that is established by Krishna. So we ourselves aren't directly dealing with it. So we can see, we can hear from the Shastras, from that then we can hear, he says, simply by hearing, considering and thinking it over. So we have to consider it, think it over, and then from there we'll gain the experience. Because just by dealing with the nature, it doesn't mean we'll get the experience. So we're thinking about that we're intelligent, we have realization. But most people don't actually have realization, they have understanding. Because realization means it actually changes your lifestyle. Understanding means you know more, but it doesn't mean you'll change your life. Realization means you'll change your life. I'd probably say most all smokers know smoking is bad for them, but it's an understanding, it's not a realization. When they realize it, they'll stop smoking. So the thing is the experience is coming through the material energy because of our connection to Krishna. See, experience is actually Krishna. Whatever we experience in this world is actually Krishna. But the medium through that to Krishna is through the material energy. Then what happens is we're thinking it's the material energy that's giving us the experience, but that's not possible. You can't get the experience from the material energy, it's coming from Krishna. That's why then you must hear, consider, and contemplate it. Then you actually can get the experience. Otherwise, you'll deal with the material energy, you'll get the observable result, and you're happy to get the result, but that's not actually experiencing what's going on. That's the thing. So many times we get things in this world. We work, we get things. But we don't actually experience the actual situation, the relationship. We don't experience. That's much of the problem with relationships in the world is that people aren't actually getting the experience. What they're getting experience is to do with them. Like that. I want this, so if I get it, I'm happy. I don't get it, I'm not happy. But that process of getting it, the other people involved in that process, that is not a consideration. That's not the experience. So what actual experience you've got, sense, it's you, another entity, and that interaction, which is actually what's going on. Right? So relationship means it's an experience. Same time, it's because there's a legalistic form of relationship, it will, an observable form, it will generate an observable result. But that's not actually what we call the relationship. Right? Isn't it? The husband and wife, there's a relationship, there's a mood that is experienced, they call it husband and wife. Otherwise, legally, they're husband and wife. Right? And according to mechanics, they've had a child. So here's, husband, wife, child. So you could say, well, here's a relationship. But is that a relationship? No, that's just law. That's just observation. So therefore, by speculation, that's all you get. And it's only by following God's law, then you'll actually experience what it means to be a husband, what it means to be a wife, what's the relationship between husband and wife, what it means to be a child, what it means to be a parent, what's the relationship between parent and child. And because people don't taste that, that's why then they move from one relationship to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next. I'll stop there because that's generally as far as most go, at least the Hungarians. Four is about standard.
Okay. So, here the ISKCON.
ISKCON
is considered as Vaishnava tradition. Vaishnava.
ISKCON is considered Vaishnava tradition. Yes,
but
that's
the
word. ISKCON
is written Tesham Brahmana Uttama. So, here in India, there is a second, means a higher tradition, there, that is Brahman tradition.
Yes, Brahman is tradition.
Brahman is considered higher.
Okay, and then in the next verse, can you listen? Listen. The next verse it says, better than the Brahmana, who knows the purpose of the Vedas, is he could dissipate all doubts. Right? In other words, you know the Veda, but if you can't dissipate doubt, it's not as good as someone who can. Then, and better than him is one who is liberated from all material, one who strictly follows the Brahminical principle. So better than that means one who can free one from all doubt and follow all the things. That means he's highly learned. That's the standard. Then, better than him is one who is liberated from all material contamination. Means one who is above that. And better than him is a pure devotee who executes devotional service without expected reward. So again, we put the Vaishnava on the top. Sorry. Okay? But, that's what we're following. No buts in this conversation. Like that. Yes?
Maharaj, you were explaining how, just to start, ISKCON needs to deal with protection issues.
ISKCON needs to deal with protection issues, but who protects?
Exactly.
No, who protects?
The president,
but it's authority. You understand? Authority protects, right? The husband protects the wife, the parents protect the child, the teacher, the student, you know, the king, the citizens, right? So, but that means that if we're talking about protection, that means we also have to be talking about authority. So, generally speaking, those who jump up and down the most about protection are the ones that are least have faith in authority. You know what I'm saying? So it's contradictory. The two go together. Otherwise, why, you know, let's say in, now it's what? 95, 96, you know, is getting start strong about, you know, this whole, you know, protecting everybody kind of thing. Is anybody feel more protected? You know what I'm saying? You go around. What position in society is secure? Where does someone? Because why? Because in those 12 years of trying to establish all that, there's never been an element of trying to establish the principle of authority. Individuals establish their authority, but is it based on the principle of authority? So until you establish the principle of authority, how do you have protection? Because protection means you're protected by an authority. Right? Otherwise, you're not protected. You have to do it yourself. So the modern thing is do it yourself. Then at the same time, but where's the protection? It doesn't go together. You know, you can't have your cake and eat it also. That's the thing. They want both. Right? And after having the cake, eating the cake, they also want to be able to go to the, you know, sell it in the market and make profit. You know, so it doesn't even end there. Right? It's not even enough. Have the cake handy if they want to be able to, you know, sell it and make money. You know what I'm saying? So it's not working. Why is it working? Because the science of Krishna consciousness is not being understood. Basic points of philosophy are there, but this is also philosophy. It's just not taking the philosophy far enough. And so if you want to work on a sophisticated thing, then you have to know the science more. Isn't it? You know the science less, okay, you use a simple form, right? But if you want to have a sophisticated form, it means you have to know more philosophy. But, you know, oh, keep it simple, oh, we don't get into that taboo, this, that, blah. But the point is we want something more sophisticated. Probably if you chant, dance, take prasad, you know, you do Harinam, you do stupid books, you like that, anyone you meet, you tell them about Krishna, okay, that works, it covers everything. But now if you want to make sophisticated developments within that, means then you have to have a sophisticated understanding of the science on which to base it. Otherwise, you'll base it on sentiment and speculation. Does that make sense? Okay? So
then, what about a mechanism
to
have protection in ISKCON? How can that
work? What about a mechanism? The point is if you accept authority, then automatically, and authorities, means, in other words, if someone respects authority and someone behaves with authority, then that's automatic, right? In other words, an adult who takes the responsibility of being a parent protects their child,
people who don't protect their child are people who don't take responsibility of being a parent. You understand? That's why I mentioned before, the weakness of the committee. Who's responsible? So therefore, since no one's responsible, there is no protection. Who do you go to? You know what I'm saying? You can't. We're people. We go to people. People go to people. People come from people. Right? So protection comes from people. You understand? So there has to be people running it.
You see, GBC is the ultimate managerial authority.
GBC is ultimate managerial authority to see that everything is organized nicely in society. But as far as administration goes, that's the temple president's job.
So for a
group, you know what I'm saying? What do you? It's like this. Prabhupada said a GBC and a preacher are the same. Right? In the beginning, he was talking a little bit. Then by 73, I think it was 72. Then he made it very clear: the preachers, they should have their preaching circuit, and they see that the standards in that circuit are up to the standard. That's the GBC's job. So that means he has to manage his going around. They have to manage different things. They have to manage to have a meeting, right? And then they see how to manage things that things go nicely. But administration is the president. Just like administration is the king. Brahmins don't administrate. Right? They teach. They give advice. They may take part in ministerial posts, so that's considered a lower end brahminical activity. But it's still brahminical. But still, it stops there. It's they get told the king what to do. He says he wants to do it this way. And then according to how they know the science, they may affect it in their own area. But still, they don't do it. Someone else does it for them, because they're a minister. Does that make sense?
So all administration should be done by temple president level?
All administration is done by temple presidents. Yes, basically. Because otherwise, then who else is going to do it? Otherwise, you have to create a body of people that don't exist to do it for you. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? The person has a problem with his relationships, and he goes from relationship to relationship to relationship. After a while, shouldn't he make me think that maybe he needs to learn something about relationships? You know what I'm saying? So you start from this, go to that. No, but if you understand relationships, then it doesn't really matter what one you're dealing with. You're dealing with them. Like I just heard someone saying yesterday, someone who's known for relationships. You know, a question came up why they don't get much into email and phoning and this and that. He said, because when I'm in a particular place, I'm with some certain devotees, and when I'm with them, I give them full attention. So if I'm on the email and on the phone, I can't give them attention. Right? So I'm in place A, and I'm on email and talking on the phone to people in place B. Then when I go to place B, I'm on the phone and emailing to people in place A. So what are you ever with them? That was his point. You know what I'm saying? So the thing is that relationship, these things are what actually makes things inspired. You know, and this is someone who they're able to inspire thousands of people. And that's not exact, thousands. That's their method. Right? And they do it without email or a phone. Amazing, but true. Rupees believe or not. That would be a very good summation, like that. It's just, you see, in other words, by this point that was made here, hearing, considering, thinking it over, understand what you can do for this society, right? Wasn't that what JFK said? You know? Think not what this country can do for you, but what you can do for it. So therefore, you think of what it is that you can do nicely for the society and do that. You don't have to do everything to have a position, but it's due to insecurity. You think, unless you're on the top of the pile. Like before, the perfect position was being a guru, being a sannyasi, and being a GBC. If you were all three, you were untouchable like that. You know, of course, I pulled the rug out from under that. Yeah, like that. So, the thing is if one is not secure in oneself in the concept of authority, because Krishna is the ultimate authority and guru, like that, then no matter what arrangement you made, you're being secure. So it's not by having more portfolios or being in positions that seemingly have more mechanical control over situations that actually that makes you secure. So in other words, we have to leave the security issue to Krishna, you know, and then look at it, well, what can I do? And not look at it, well, what is the social implication of this or that, or, you know, the control or enjoying or anything, and just that. Then it works very nicely. Once you put it into that, then, you know, very comfortably everybody just finds where they are and it works, because there'll always be people who will look after for you if you're in the system. Varnashram system looks after itself, but if you're not within the system, then you're not looked after by it. You know, as well. It's harder to look at because you live in the jungle. Right? Maybe a cement jungle, but hey, it's still a jungle. Right? So that's the... Is that okay? Is that
answered.
Oh, it's answered. Okay. You have a
question? I was concerned about, like, when I first came to the movement, it seemed very destination-oriented. Just like,
destination-oriented.
Like very other religions, like Christianity, like North Avenue, but it, also I was looking at the New Age stuff, and it seems like the New Age is all process. And here it's,
it's more experience. New Age is more experience than processes, because the process, they don't give you experience. No one comes to the little yoga center. Have you ever been to a yoga place in India? Just paka yogis, that's all they do. Just four walls and a floor, that's it. But you go to these New Age, and you know, the music and the colors and the plants and, you know, the crystal here and there to create the vibe. So if you, when you walk in, you don't get a experience, you go out the door.
Well, I mean like self-help seminars.
Self-help, but still, self-help is for what? To make profit. It's not for self-realization.
Yeah, exactly. So,
the one so-called self-realization is for... Sorry, I'm doing this, I'm saying you. It's just what lawyers do when somebody talks, right? You just have to cut them off, you know, because you have... Like that, isn't it? That's the way it works, right? That's the way you win the case. Okay, so I'll let you finish. Go ahead.
Processing or integration of this philosophy, would it be suggestible to do more introspection and find out what one's position is properly in order for them to be in a leadership role?
You could say yes very easily. Is that introspection is part of the process, as Prabhupada's mentioned here in this quote. So we are not the most intelligent person, right? It is not yet. Oh, we are the most intelligent person. Okay. I get it. Okay, so this is in the context of talking about the Brahminical element. Okay, so now he's got a context. That's why it's always good to know the context of the thing. So we are the most intelligent person. Most intelligent means one who learns by hearing. Right? It is not possible to experience directly. So going through the senses and trying to learn from that, it won't work very good. Because the problem is that that in the conditioned state, we're going to be make mistakes. We're going to be under illusion. So then, when we are... when we hear from authority, that authority, the Vedas, is not fallible. Like that. And that... authority that Veda includes Shruti, Smriti, Puranas, Pancharatra, and that. So that all those different elements are there. So then we can gain through, the experience can gain through hearing. Then when you apply the process. So what's happening here is that one needs to understand three things. One has to understand relationship, process, and goal. And in that, one has to understand the mechanics of the relationship and the experience of the relationship. So, nothing means, without knowing who you are and what other things are, there's no question of a process. Without a process, you can't get a result. Without gaining a result, then you don't get that experience you're looking for.
the same time as that result that you gain, the experiential is more important than the observable. You know, so these are very, very important elements of that process. So that means if one isn't contemplative, it will be very hard to be dynamic in the process. And to that degree that you're dynamic, to that degree, you'll be able to lead. There's another place where Prabhupada says a leader means one who's inspired and who is always inspired and who is able to inspire others. Right? So that's the thing, is that the Vedic definitions are very simple. And if we ask the modern self-help and say, what's a leader? It'll probably be much longer. And it will, you might be able to find a problem because it'll apply in this situation but not that. But this is that it doesn't matter what you're leading in. You're leading in arts, you're leading in medicine, in economics, in administration, in science or academia. It doesn't matter. If you're inspired in it, then you will naturally be a leader for others. But to be inspired means that you have to be contemplative. Because it means for something to come out, it means something has to be going in, right? Unless I have something in the glass, I can't pour something out. So if the way inspiration comes out is if it's going in. So I have to be I've heard the philosophy contemplate. How does it apply? You know, both in its, you know, theoretical and practical forms. Does this work?
And what if the position's filled and you know they're unqualified?
If they're filled and unqualified, but actually that's not the main thing, because then the question comes is what would be your alternative, right? So if it's not educational, then next it'll be political, right? Generally, you know, economics wouldn't bother with that because it's not making money anyway, so why would we get involved in that kind of thing? You know, in other words, if it makes money, it's real. And if it doesn't make money, you wouldn't bother. Does that make sense? You know, in arts and all that, then nice. You have sentiment and feeling, so you can have a few nice lectures or some discussions or something. So basically, then your alternative is going to be political. Does that make sense? So that's why then you have to see that political solution, politics never has a solution for a spiritual problem. You can only solve this. A spiritual problem with spiritual. In fact, you can't even solve material problems with material solutions. It has to be spiritual. So this solving of any problem with a spiritual solution then means that you have to look at it. Well, what is the problem? Right? It means why would someone not be contemplating? Because they don't have the knowledge to contemplate or don't know they're supposed to contemplate, you know? Don't know the process of contemplation. So that is knowledge. So it starts with knowledge. So when they have the knowledge of who they are, what they're supposed to be doing and all that in theory, then they can move to the process where they actually do it. And then from practicing that process based on the actual knowledge, then you get the actual result. Otherwise, if the activity is not actually connected to the result, it doesn't give. You know, so that's why when we say it's pragmatic, the real pragmatism is to actually establish the real relationship. Not just say, oh no, I was being practical, so, you know, I didn't bother with, you know, doing certain things, you know, certain rituals, that I was being practical. But then that means you don't understand how the goal you want to get is connected with the activity. Right? I want to serve Krishna. Krishna is the supreme pure. Therefore, when I'm cooking for him, then he wants things that are pure, right? So therefore, by me being pragmatic, walking in the kitchen with my outside shoes on, the kitchen's not up to the standard of purity to cook for Krishna. So I've gotten something cooked. I was practical. I was pragmatic. But it's not actually the standard that Krishna wants to eat it. So actually, how pragmatic was it? If my goal was get something cooked, it was very practical. If my goal was get Krishna to eat something, then it didn't work. So that's the problem with modern pragmatism. It gets an observable done, but it didn't get Krishna's satisfaction, which is in that way is unobservable. You know, it's the experience. You know what I'm saying? It's the experiential. So devotion is experiential. Like that. There may be symptoms, but it's experiential. So that means is that
the process of pragmatism cannot overshadow the process, the finer processes at work. So that means the person who did that doesn't actually have enough knowledge and has not contemplated actually what's going on. The reason he didn't do that was not because it was not practical. He wore his shoes because the kitchen's not so clean. But why is the kitchen not clean? Why, as a Brahmin, he didn't clean the kitchen? Prabhupada says the Brahmin goes into a place, he makes it cleaner than when he went in, there. So that means that it wasn't a Brahminical solution. Right? Kshatriyas also work by rules. So that means, at best, it's a Vaishya solution. At best. Because pragmatism is their philosophy. You know what I'm saying? So if we hear the words pragmatism, you know, just, equality, you know, it's not, you know, viable making profit, like that, a morality, ethics, you know, they're not good, this, that, all these things are the same thing. This is the consciousness of Vaishyas. So since when does the consciousness of Vaishyas lead a spiritual society? It doesn't mean Vaishyas aren't involved, but it can't be their perspective is the perspective. The Brahminical's perspective is the perspective. Then, in the Brahminical perspective, you focus more on administration or economics. But the basis has to be Brahminical. But if you remove the Brahminical, like we're not being practical here, all those Pancharatric or Vedic stuff is not practical, then you've removed yourself from the Vedic system. So all you're leaving yourself is with the business mentality. And so what's the whole point? Make profit. That's all. And so do people join a spiritual mission because it makes profit? No. You know what I'm saying? And even though the first world complains that many of the third world, they perceive and they join this movement because of the opulence, but all they're preaching is opulence. And then those who are materialistic and would join for that, then why are they complaining they joined because of that? You understand? So you're taking a profit-minded mentality and then expecting that that's going to generate relationships. Right? The profit is based on a process. And that process, if it's based on the experience of human interaction, then that means the process has to be human interaction. If the process is, it means if your goal is economic, then you simply have to deal with the field of economics to get that profit. In other words, what you deal in is what your result's going to be in. Right? You're observably pragmatic, you'll get an observable result. That's all. You know what I'm saying? If I deal in colors, I'll get something with color. If I deal in vegetables, I'll get some kind of subject. Right? If I deal in rocks, I'll get some kind of something else. You know what I'm saying? So whatever the medium you deal in, but they don't see this. It's so unobservable. But this is only gained by contemplation. Right? You contemplate, you gain these things. You don't contemplate, you won't see that they're there. All you know is, I'm getting something done because you feel your perspective is all there is. Therefore, the need of varnashram. Otherwise, one varna will take over. Right? So everything's according to the vision of the Brahmins, but they don't manage it. The Kshatriyas and Vaishyas manage the society. Shudras just take part. Yes?
What about when the Brahmanas, there was this time when the Brahmanas killed this king because he was just.
That's because he opposed, you know, he was killing Brahmins and this and that. It was obvious.
He was on a Kshatriya position.
He was in a Kshatriya position.
No, I'm talking about Brahmins. When they killed him, they took an administrative role.
No, they killed him and then did a sacrifice, turned his thighs and created a new Kshatriya. So if you want to use that, great. But you have to be able to, out of the person that is killed, create a new person. You know? So this is the original dead, cloning, right?
If you're that good, you get killed.
Hmm?
If you're that good, you get killed.
Yeah, if you're that good, like that. So, yeah, so.
So,
Maharaj, does that make sense? Is it, you understand?
Yeah, but it didn't really go around.
See, the thing is because
and this is it's not going to go into a political forum.
Yeah.
You know? And because what we were speaking before, though it sounds like it's on that, it's the science. So it's filibramidical science. It wasn't saying what to do. It was saying what is the position and what is the science of acting. It wasn't saying what to do. So that's the thing is the Brahminical is to point out what is the position, what is the natures of what kind of things should be done, what are your actual goals, what are you actually dealing with? Because if there's a mistake, means there's a mistake in one of these three, the Sabandhavide and Prayojana. So it means they don't know what they're dealing with, they don't actually know the process, or they don't actually know the goal. So you're educating, right? And then in knowledge, then they'll act. You understand? Because politically, by what we said before, political will give a political result. But it won't actually correct it spiritually. Right? Prabhupada was always telling Mahatma Gandhi to follow, preach Bhagavad Gita and make that the standing of your position. But he didn't. So he used politics, religious politics, but he only got a political result. That's its whole problem was religion. You understand? That's why there's no solutions to these things. Only education. That's why in Vedic culture, education is the foundational element of it. If education is there, then the martial, whole structure comes into play. But it has to be based on education. Then in that environment, there'll be a safe environment in which Vaishyas can flourish. And if Vaishyas flourish, there'll be facility for everyone to be comfortable. Right? So if they're looking for money, you got to start with the Brahmins. And Artha comes from Dharma. So Brahmins establish Dharma, see that it's carried out, but they learn it from Brahmins. Right? So that means in a spiritual society, your leadership has to be leading in the Brahminical science and culture. That is what is done. There's plenty of people to manage. There's tons of managers who don't manage because people who don't know management are taking the positions. You know what I'm saying? People who don't know management will sit around and fight over something like that. Someone who actually is a manager won't bother. He'll either look at it, come in, take over, or do his own thing. He's not going to waste his time with non-managers talking about managing, right? Isn't it? Why would a manager go into a room full of non-managers and listen to them speculate on how to manage something? Why would he waste his time? He could be out managing something and getting something done. Right? Or, being spiritual or doing something else. You know what I'm saying? He'd be doing something else. He wouldn't be doing it. So. Like that. The managers won't be satisfied that it doesn't work. They will make it work. And so in other words, what worked they keep and what didn't work, that they throw out. They never throw out the whole system. They just won't do that. Does that get closer now? And you have to understand this law is in working, functioning in the, in the Kshatriya environment of administration and that thing. But it's actually a Brahminical occupation. Because it's supposed to be establishing what's truth, what's right, based on higher authority. Like that. That's why you have 5 million books that you have to read. Right? Because that's your authority, right? Vedic system is very nice. You have one book, and all authority is based on that. So you can become quite expert at it. Like that. And everything covered in all those 10,000 books are in that one book. That's the even better part. Does that make sense? So the principle is that even though one may be working in that environment, it's still not the solution. You know what I'm saying? Because the kshatriyas can establish it if they're acting as kshatriyas. But they'll only act as kshatriyas if they're trained by Brahmins. Does that make sense? So that's the thing. So it's important. Okay? Yeah. Yes?
While you were mentioning, when you were discussing about, the GBC.
Oh, just one second. Just a quick question. How does one explain the birth of a great devotee, Prahlad, to the demon Hiranyakashipu in a Varnashram system? Well, devotee in Varnashram means, technically two different things. That Varnashram's used is not the symptom of a devotee. But the interesting thing is that Hiranyakashipu, this question is a time of conception. Hiranyakashipu had gone with his brother out into the forest. This is described in the Shringa Purana. And they're doing austerities. And because when demons do their austerities, then it's always bad for, you know, everybody else except them. So the demigods got worried, they got together, didn't know what to do. Narad Muni said, I'm myself and Parvata Muni will take care of it. So Narad Muni and Parvata Muni, then they took the forms of little sparrows, right? They're little birds. They're hard to catch, hard to shoot, and at the same time have a very high, squeaky, very annoying chirp. Right? So now they came, and where Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha were doing their austerities, then Narad Muni, Parvata Muni, in the form of these sparrows, sat on a tree branch, you know, enough out of reach, you know, but close enough to be noticed. And then started chanting at the top of their lungs, Om Namo Narayanaya. Just on and on and on and on. You know, birds do for a while, then they go away. So, you know, but they didn't go away. And then Hiranyakashipu wakes up, tries to get them to go away, won't go away. Then he gets out his bow and arrow and shoots, by that time they're gone. Right, so now his mood is completely disturbed. So he goes back to his, goes back to the palace and all that, for a break from his austerities or all a surprise. He's back so early, and that, and so then he spends his time trying to, forget the terrible experience of hearing the holy name. Right? You know, So, sits with family and friends, has dinner, listens to music, drama, this or that. None of it works. So he thinks, okay, last thing, Goes to bed with his wife and thinks, now this will definitely make me forget. But it didn't. So at the time of conception, he was chanting Om Namo Narayanaya and thinking of the bird. But the bird was Narad Muni. So he's thinking of a pure devotee and chanting the holy name when he conceived Prahlad. So that's why Prahlad was a great devotee. Right? But his Hiranyakashipu's parents, even though they were great Pajapatis, it was the opposite. Right? Great self-realized souls and great, the husband is the son of Brahma, the daughter is granddaughter of Brahma. Great personalities, Prajapatis, but she was thinking of prestige. Right? Like that. And the husband was thinking of, sense gratification. Right? So Hiranyakashipu. So they each added some important element to their child's mentality, and they got one. And he was just thinking of pure devotees and the holy name. So that's how Prahlad was.
Maharaj, when you were mentioning about the GBC having a Brahminical position and the temple president being our, in contemporary...
Means the Brahmin and Kshatriya means by nature of the duty. It doesn't mean that the person in that position has to be from there, but it would mean that they would have to be purified to the point they could take those duties and do them nicely for Krishna, right?
So then the temple president, which is a Kshatriya position. Now, how is that gonna evolve when we go from the scope of just having temples and this and that, and we grow into a broader, more variegated society, which is gonna manifest into something closer and closer to a full-fledged Vanashram society where. So how the Kshatriya position is going to evolve?
How will the Kshatriya position evolve as we expand? It's because you're looking at it, how does it go from being the temple president to in charge of the city or the country or like that? But what you're having to look at is what is in the country? Right? The citizens, and there's a big variety of things. So the point is that the Kshatriya, one of his qualifications is the ability to distinguish who can do what, right? And how to get them to do that. So in other words, someone engaged according to their nature and knowing how to connect that nature to Krishna, that's a Kshatriya's business. Not how can we best utilize this person to, make profit or make money. That's how Vaishya looks at it. So that's on a smaller scale. So on a smaller scale, you can run a temple that way, but on a bigger scale, you'd have to have the Kshatriya mentality because you have congregation, you have so many different kinds of preaching programs and this and that. So it's actually basically, generally, your Brahmins and Kshatriyas are able to identify that. So then it's a matter of, you may have had some idea of a program you want to establish now, you're looking for people, but then a person comes along, but they are will be expert at a completely different program. So if the facility is there, just you are thinking this, but they have an idea of that, do that. But if you have to, no, but I thought this, and all my thinking about this will be wasted if the person doesn't do that, that's not a Brahmin or a Kshatriya. That's simply profit and loss. And even a good businessman won't say that. That's basically shooters will look at it that way. You know what I'm saying? Because the point is a Kshatriya will make so many plans, and if it doesn't work, he'll throw it out in the moment. If you can't do that, he will lose. If you're on the battlefield, you make a plan. But when you get out there, then it's according to what's happening there. So you have to change your plan on the spot. You have to. Right? In business, you have a plan. You go ahead. Things change. You have to change at that moment. You can't stick to the plan. You have to make, you know, Brahman, he has a particular thing. You're preaching a particular way or doing something, and things change. A question comes up, or this, you have to change. Right? So that's the thing, is their understanding of the science doesn't change. What they change are the details. Shooters deal with details. So therefore, for them is then, they, to create the security, they don't want to change. They talk about change, but the change is only in relationship to their sense gratification. That's what change means. You know, I feel uncomfortable following this regulated program. I want to be free to go out on a walk whenever I like to or something. Yeah, it's a shooter mentality. Like that. You need to walk and work it into your program. You know, or if an opportunity comes up, then take it. But you can't leave everything up in the air because you maybe will feel like this and maybe feel like that. So your security is your own emotions. And you don't really care for the environment because others cannot function in that environment. Everybody else has to work around you. You know what I'm saying? So it's, in one sense, that's what the society does. The society does work around the shooters to see that what they need is taken care of. But the standards are not set by the shooters. Does that make sense? That's the thing. It's set by the Brahmins, which means it comes from the Shastra. You set the Kshatriya see that it's going on. Does that make sense? So therefore, it can expand, and then automatically, point if you're expanding to that point, then but there's already going to be people in those positions. Bhaktivinoda Thakur talked about the high court judges wearing tilak. You don't have to become a high court judge. Just like this. Take an example. Okay, you have a devotee think, okay, in Indology, in the academics they speak badly about in India because the Indologists speak badly about India. So we'll become academics, we'll become Indologists, and this way we'll set the standard and show them actually what's right. Has it ever happened? I don't know one, and I know a lot. So they became Indologists, and they became the ones that are speaking against us. Yeah, a little more friendly than the others, but that's about it. You know what I'm saying? So it didn't work. So we don't have to become the big guys. We just have to preach. Think of it. You go to campus. Okay. You go for 4 years. Okay. And you'll put in how many hours a day studying and classes and this. So that's 6, 8, 10. If you want to get a 4-point average, put in that much. Okay. Now, okay, that's nice. People still won't take you seriously. So another 2 years, you get your master's. Another 3 years, you get your PhD. Right? So think of that. 10 hours a day for 8 years. Really focused and committed if you really want to make it and be good. Now, could you imagine if you put in that much contemplation and thinking and that many hours of preaching on campus? You probably have the whole campus devoted. You know, and that way you don't have to be that. You already ahead. Now, instead of staying 8 years and now you can supposedly start talking. No, you can't. As an academic, you can't say boo about Krishna consciousness. Because Krishna consciousness means you have to be able to give a conclusion, a solution. And an academic, that is the, you know, number one rule that you can't do. So therefore, you just spent eight years or 10 hours a day, and you still can't preach. But as a devotee, you go to them as an individual and preach. And then, even though on campus they can't say anything, but they're all practicing devotees. Because that's all their academics are anyway. They go to the campus, teach classes, they don't teach Krishna consciousness. But when they go home, they're devotees. So right there is that one person did all that, and then he has one devotee doing that. Himself. Right? When he could have spent the same amount of time and probably had tens or hundreds of people involved. You understand? So to be successful on the government level, you don't have to be there. The government people themselves are already good at it, so let them, make them devotees. They'll do it for you. They already know how to run a country. They'll do it anyway, but with God consciousness. People already know how to run businesses. Let them do it. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to be a billionaire to be able to preach. You preach, then the billionaires will be devotees. Does that make sense? So we just have to focus on Krishna. You establish a Brahminical culture, as Prabhupada said, you establish a class of Brahmins, everything else will fall into place. Brahmins will always establish Kshatriyas, and the Kshatriyas will always establish the other things. And despite anything, the Vaishyas will always make money. You know what I'm saying? So now it's just a matter of it's God conscious or nice.
In the water or peace.
The point is you don't have a Brahmin or a Kshatriya unless they're trained. Means you can have a Vaishya who can make money even though he's untrained. He may be a terrible person and have bad relations, but he'll be a good businessman. Right? You can be a great artist and be a terrible person to be with. But you can't be a Brahmin or a Kshatriya if you're not if people can't work with you. You know what I'm saying? That's why Gita talks about Brahmins and Kshatriyas by qualities and Vaishyas and Shudras by actual occupational duties. It doesn't say any qualities for Vaishyas or Shudras. You know, it says what they do. But for the Brahmin Kshatriyas, it doesn't say what they do, it says their qualities. So if you have those qualities, you'll get everything else. Because saying it won't make it happen. Does that make sense? Is that okay? Like that? Yes? Problems of having a committee at the top. Does it apply for ISKCON also? If you're implying that the GBC is a committee, it's not a committee. It's the Vishva Vaishnav Raja Sabha. It's a sangha of the senior Vaishnavas who are the main preachers of the movement, which our GBC is. You know what I'm saying? They are the senior men. They are the most advanced, most committed men in our society. Well, persons. So, I guess you could say men, because nowadays you don't need it. A bunch of girls are there. You can say, come up to them and say, hey guys, what's up? So it doesn't matter. So I guess I could call them men also. So then, that's not the problem. So it's about if it functions as a managerial committee, that's where it falls apart. You understand? It's a satsang of senior Vaishnavas to come together, share their experiences and vision to see that the mission of Lord Chaitanya is going together at the same rate, speed, and direction. That's what it's for. Then they go back to their individual areas and see that, it's going on. That's what they do. Understand? But if you turn it into a modern committee, but what they forget is that the modern committee does have a CEO, and he actually just, he does what he wants. And if the committee doesn't like it, then they fire him. But if they like it, he's the one doing it. They can't tell him, well, you should do this and do that. He can decide whether he wants to do that or not. So it still has a head. You still say, this company is going well because of the CEO. You don't say, this company is going well because of the committee. Have you ever heard that? Have you ever heard that this multinational company is doing excellent because of their board of directors? No, it's because of their CEO. Right? That's the point. And generally, he, many times, makes whoever else is there or who he wants to work with.
But the point is you have somebody taking responsibility. Company goes up, everybody's helping. Company goes down, they fire them. So how are you going to apply those things in our situation? Ours is different. Ours is a subsidy. So you can't apply those things, and they don't work. You know what I'm saying? So it's different. That's the thing. If you understand it's different, then you can understand how it'll work. If you don't understand it's different, then it won't work. I should end.
So a short question.
Short question, it doesn't mean it's a short answer. can you say it in one sentence?
What about the panchayat system in a village? Is that
a panchayat system? Is it Vedic? Yes, because who are you dealing with? The village means who? Yes. So they're the ones that feel unless I'm involved, it's not happening. Right? So therefore you get people who have a lot of material experience, you know, in various areas. And then they get together and they discuss. And so it works on the panchayat as a village. That's how you run a village. Right? But you don't run a country by a panchayat. You know what I'm saying? So if you want to run a small temple where everybody knows everybody and everybody's there, then nice. But if you're running one of these temples that's in a city where nobody knows anybody, you know, then how is that going to work? And are you recognizing them for a particular skill, or it's simply because they got a loud mouth or they're a prophet disciple? Is that the reason they're on the committee? If you have a management committee, why is it that being a prophet disciple makes you qualified? Doesn't mean you're going to be. Prophet disciple and manager are not synonymous. But you find every committee has to have the prophet disciple there. Why? Oh, he's been around 3 years. What is it? How management he's done in 30 years? Well, he was the temple president. Yeah, that was 1970 what? And this is 2000 what? You know what I'm saying? So, therefore, what has that got to do with it? Now, if he's qualified, he has something to bring to the table. Yes, nice. Then, make a committee with those people. But still, who's going to run it? Someone who can understand all those aspects will run it. Right? It's just straightforward management. The eternal laws of God, eternal principles of management. Right? That you have to buy something cheap and sell it more expensive, that's a law of God. Right? The New York Stock Exchange did not make that up. I did what Brandon Bubbles said, but they didn't pick it up. You know what I'm saying?
In the panchayat, is there also like...
There's a head of the village, of course. He has to see that it gets done. But the panchayat is there. You know what I'm saying? Then ten panchayat leaders, then there's a leader for one of those. And then 10 of those is one for theirs. So however big your country is, then it eventually gets up to the top. That's your lower committee, your lower administrative committee, that they discuss what's going on in the nation, and they present that to the higher committee, which is the king and his ministers. That's where democracy stops. Then the king and his ministers make the decision. It has nothing to do with that lower thing, because they're supposed to protect. One could say, well, what if they don't? That means, what if they don't? Who is saying what if they don't? Why would that be a consideration? Yudhishthir Maharaj, the king of country. But what if he doesn't worry about the tribals over in this there? Anybody brings that up? No, because they're talking about Kshatriyas. Don't let people have faith in the system, faith in authority. So who brings that up? No, but what if they don't? You know? Yeah, the guru is the child. No, but what if? Who's bringing that up? A person with no faith. I don't mean not faith in truth, but no faith in authority. And ultimately, Krishna is an authority, so we don't even accept his authority on how the material world works. Why would we bring that up? It can be part of a discussion that, yes, this is the principle, this is the system. Then within that, how do we ensure that everybody works properly? That's the next step. But we don't even let it get to there because we're afraid if it goes there, then you've established authority, and then I may not be independent and do whatever nonsense I want. So
So the point is, the principle of authority has to be there. Now, within that, then it's like, guru is what they are, temple president is what they are, GBC, sanyat, they have their authority, they are who they are. Now it's a matter of, now if you want to see that everything goes nicely, but to question whether those positions should be there, and whether their natural rights that are given in the Shastra should be allowed to them, that's nonsense. That's the discussions of atheists. It's not the discussions of devotees. You know what I'm saying? But because we're conditioned, we discuss a lot of things that aren't devotional. You understand? So we have to be able to see this. That what Prabhupada is giving, this is what has to be taken. But it's not dogmatic. It's very dynamic and alive. Down to the individual atom you can work with. So that's split very fine. They can't even tell the difference between, you know, a parent and something else. They can't even tell that what works here works there. They can't tell any of these things. Does that make sense? Yeah? Okay. Go. Sorry, it's just time is short.
How long have you been here?
10 years.